Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing you part three of a four-part series entitled Heroes of the Faith, with today's hero of the faith being Lydia, and this message is based off of Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, and verse 40. So let us dive into the Word today. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she asked us to be her guests. "If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she urged us until we agreed. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. Amen. We are called to be and build the church where we are and with what we have. Throughout the years, I have been the recipient of hospitality, as I'd imagine most of us have been. I easily can think back to the time when I was a teenager, and of course, all teenagers are always wonderful to their parents, always obedient and respectful, and never cause melodrama around the house, right? Well, let me be honest, I was no different than any other teenager in that regard. And there were times that I would threaten to run away because I was upset. I mean, what teenager hasn't done that? And, well, it wasn't a threat because I did leave the house, but guess where I went? To my friend's house. And guess who showed me a ton of hospitality? My friend's parents. And little did I know, they were calling my parents, who knew I was there, that I was safe, and that I would eventually make my way back home again. It does, after all, take a village to raise a single child, right? I also lived in a household that showed hospitality to everyone. Our neighbors remember when my mom used to bake pies and other things for them and just bring them during the holidays or randomly just to show her appreciation of them. So let's look at the ways our church has adapted since COVID-19 hit our world in order to show hospitality to our congregation members and those seeking hope during a pretty hopeless time. We immediately went from in-person services with about 70 people or more at worship between the two services to completely online, with the church leaders doing what was necessary to keep the church running. We also had to apply for PPP to show hospitality to our staff, which resulted in our staff getting paid rather than laid off during the pandemic. We had online fellowship and continued to meet for online Bible studies and book studies in order to keep people who were otherwise isolated connected and growing. Our small groups, such as our afternoon book club, switched to the online format as well to accommodate its members during that time. Which brings us to another change we implemented. We subscribed to Zoom, which was a lifesaver for the church, honestly. And we are still utilizing it to make it possible for people like Carol in Florida and my mom in South Carolina to join Bible studies here in New Jersey and to worship, and people whose health keeps them from participating in person can now continue to participate from a distance due to that technology. That, my friends, is hospitality too, which is why this is a great technology that all churches are now utilizing. We also showed our hospitality to frontline healthcare workers by participating in a district car parade at Bristol Glen, as well as creating and sending cards to the Newton Medical Center in order to support the well overworked and exhausted staff. And those are just a few of the many changes we made to continue showing hospitality to people during a pretty inhospitable time. Think about it. People were literally dying alone in hospitals. And no one but doctors, nurses, and aides were allowed anywhere near to support them. Not that they didn't do their best to do so, but how horrifying. And we've seen the results. Which should remind us that hospitality should be the key to everything we do. It's so vital. It's so important to who we are as human beings. In today's scripture, we see that first, God uses the most unlikely people to achieve God's purposes. I mean, as a dealer in purple cloth, fun fact, by the way, the dye was extracted by a certain kind of shellfish that was highly costly. So purple is an expensive color, which is why it's often associated with royalty or in the church with positions of high authority, such as a bishop. Purple is expensive. It was in the day. Now we can make dyes very cheaply and it doesn't cost what it did then. But at that time, it was very expensive. So as a dealer in purple cloth, Lydia would have had access to people in power and prestigious people. And she would have had wealth. I mean, what she was selling would have cost a pretty penny. And only people who could afford it would buy it. But in converting to Christianity, she was taking a heroic leap of faith. Because all of those worldly riches could have been jeopardized. Second, God opens our hearts. As we see in today's passage, God opened Lydia's heart, resulting in her whole household being blessed by her faith. In fact, the baptism of Lydia's entire household, presumably children too, reminds us that infant baptism is a long tradition in Christian history. Finally, Christians are called to hospitality. Lydia's household becomes the church in Thyatira, the same church that the risen Jesus writes to in Revelation chapter 2, verses 19 through 29, addressing them as a church of love, faith, service, and patient endurance. She shares her hospitality. Lydia shares her hospitality with Paul and Silas. As we see in Scripture, she even does so after they've been released from prison, meaning she's associating with known troublemakers. Her home becomes a hub where siblings in Christ find encouragement. Now, let's pause here to think about how faith is looked at today in our society, and maybe among some here in our own congregation. In today's society, faith is considered personal, not to be shared, to be kept to oneself. Oh, there are a lot of articles about the power of faith and how it can do miraculous things and healing people and having, getting people through some tremendous times. And people will often say, you know, it's great for your emotional and psychological makeup and for your health to have faith and all of that. But yet when it comes to sharing your faith, that is very personal in our society. We call that very personal and that it's not to be shared. We're to keep it to ourselves. Unless somebody asks, you really shouldn't talk about it. Mention the word evangelism and you'll see what I mean. People get very uncomfortable. And that is when you will start to hear things like, we don't talk about religion at the dinner table or the picnic table or the sofa or heck, even in our household, hashtag go away. Yet in Lydia, we see the biblical model of how faith ought to be. It is not personal or individual, but communal, familial even. How can we move beyond seeing faith as beliefs and practices held and lived out by individuals, to creating cultures of hospitality and encouragement in our homes and communities. Lydia was blessed with access to financial and social resources, and used them to establish a house church in her community. So let me ask you this. What gifts are you blessed with that you can, that can help you, excuse me, build up the community of faith and transform lives? Let me ask that again. What gifts are you blessed with that can help you build up the community of faith and transform lives? How is God calling you to provide hospitality to further the kingdom? And not hospitality to just people you like or know, but hospitality to everyone. Your friends, your neighbors, strangers, even enemies. Whether new to the faith or seasoned, there are ways in which you can discern your spiritual gifts. Our own United Methodist Church discipleship website has a spiritual inventory, which you can access actually at umcdiscipleship.org/spiritual-gifts-inventory. And you can access that and assess what your own spiritual gifts are. As a body of believers, what is the legacy we are presenting as a community of faith in our church? We are once again holding fellowship hour. That's huge. It took a lot to get back to, given the fear and the up and down of the pandemic. It took forever to go away. And truthfully, COVID's never going away. It'll be around forever, just like the flu and all other viruses that show up at some point and then just never leave. So we're once again holding fellowship hour. We're hosting a potluck dinner and building a community literally through fellowship and food. We're starting a brand new small group called Theology on Tap this coming Thursday, by the way, at 6 p.m., shameless plug, at Angry Eric, which is a local brewing company right in Hampton, which is right next door to Newton. And we're going to be meeting people where they are rather than expecting them to come to us first. So if you live in this area and you like good craft beer and you don't have an issue with it, you are welcome to come and join us for in-person discussion, fellowship, and just a good time. What are the resources we have collectively? And how do we use them in such a time as this to further the kingdom? Together with Christ, my friends, there is nothing that will stop what God has in store. So let us then have the heroic faith of Lydia and open ourselves to what God is calling us to do. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be challenged, but also to be given such inspiration and hope, knowing that, Lord, we've been called to a purpose, and we've been called to that purpose because you have gifted us in ways that are unique. And what we bring to the table is unique to your mission and to your ministry. So help us to discover what those unique abilities are, and let us use them in the most hospitable ways so that we may show your love and your inclusion to all people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope that you got something out of this message. I hope Lydia inspires you the way she does me. And so next week, we're going to be talking about Esther. And Esther is really one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Her situation is something else, and you really see her heroism shine through in terms of her faith. So I hope you'll tune in next week to listen to that. But in the meantime, friends, check out the episode notes. There are links there if you can give. That would be much appreciated. But remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in faith and peace.